Hey, everybody, quick announcement. We're doing a second CMP study. Starting May 6th, it's a total win-win. You get to come into League if you qualify for the study, go through the first 8 weeks of League, which we call the 8-week parenting pivot. It's this incredible deep dive of implementing Connect Method parenting. And we get to follow your progress to show the impact Connect Method parenting is having on parents who implement it in their home. So it's a total win-win. All you've got to do is apply for the study before May 6th, because that's when it closes, because that's when we're starting it. There's a link in the show notes. So you just click that link, answer some questions. If you pre-qualify, we'll reach out to you, confirm that it's a good fit, and then we'll be off to the races. So if you've been waiting for an opportunity to jump into League, but you've been hesitant for whatever reason, see this as your sign. It's your time to jump in. I would be so grateful, because my mission is to get CMP out to more people. And part of that process is collecting statistical data showing how it works for people in their home in real situations. So it would be such a blessing for me if you feel inspired to participate in the study. And it would be such a win for you, because you will be able to have access to the tools to shift from corrective to connective parenting. Now, this is only available until May 6th, so jump on it while you can. And if you're not interested in participating in the study, but you would like to start implementing Connect Method parenting, you want that assistance to guarantee you success, League is open for general traditional sign up as well. So you can sign up that way as well. You don't have to participate in the study, but both will close May 6th. So whether you are entering the traditional way or through the study, May 6th is the deadline, and we're not going to reopen until July or August for another round of League. I don't know if we're going to do another CMP study. We'll just have to wait and see. So now is the perfect time to join. And I just wanted to let everybody who's listening to the podcast know about this opportunity, so that you don't go 2 more months and not have the help that you need. And real quick, before we get to the episode, I thought it'd be really fun to share some thoughts from people who just completed this study.
I just can never express how great this has been and how thankful I am. It's been everything. It's been so good.
Like, are we only 2 weeks in? It's like night and day already. There's just been this total shift.
I feel like our hearts are like so connected. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I really, really see the change.
So fun. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you're ready to create a change in your parenting, you're ready to go from corrective to connective parenting, I would love for you to come participate in the study, or you can come in traditionally, but you got to get your application in before May 6th, because that's when we're closing the doors. And the results, by the way, were so incredible from the first study. I am going to do a whole podcast episode about it to let you know what happens when we implement Connect Method parenting now that we have the data to support that. But we want a bigger base to pull from, so that we have hundreds and hundreds of moms that have gone through this study, maybe even thousands. So if you are feeling inclined, come join us in the study. And if you have any questions, reach out to us at hello@connectmethodparenting.com, and we'll get back to you. All right, on with the show. Your decision to accept or reject situations, behavior, and emotions is your superpower, one of your controllables. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast, where correction is out, connection is in, and your kids want to listen to you. I'm Andy Martineau, creator of Connect Method Parenting, here to help you stay calm, confident, and connected no matter what. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is the second installment, the second episode of the Connect Method Parenting Book Club. We're diving into chapter 2, which, if you feel like you are stuck between a rock and a hard place, because no matter what you do, you cannot get your kids to budge. They do not listen to you. You've tried consequences, you've tried rewards, you've tried ultimatums and lectures, and you're in a constant, what feels like unavoidable tug of war. You push, they pull. Feels insane. That's what we're diving into. And we're going to talk about how we get ourselves out of it. So let's get started. Chapter 2, Control the Controllables. The sign of a great parent doesn't have anything to do with the child's behavior and everything to do with the parent's behavior. Controlling is like a donut diet. Trying to control your kids makes as much sense as only eating donuts while trying to lose weight. It will not work. When you try to control your kids with consequences, rewards, ultimatums, and lectures, you create an unavoidable tug of war. You push, they pull. It's insane. It takes two. And typically, you're both happy to play your part. The harder you try to control them, the harder they push back. The dance of resistance continues for as long as you keep dancing. Controlling is a natural response when you think external consequences and rewards will create long-term changes to behavior. Connecting is a natural response when you understand that consequences don't change behavior long-term, and that lasting influence is a result of an amazing relationship with your kids. Controlling is hell. Connecting is heaven. Your job. It's easy to get confused about what your parenting job is. How much or little should you be doing for your kids? You can easily get stuck in confusion, overwhelm, and worry. This starts you down a path of desperately trying to control your kids. I used to think my job was to control my kids just enough to make sure they got straight A's, always cleaned their room, were nice to each other, didn't swear, and please wore deodorant. You could say I was a bit of a control freak, and it left me with a constant parenting headache. The controllables. It had been a rough night with my kids. I'd gone to sleep feeling like a failure, and I woke up feeling like a failure. My inner critic was hard at work. Why does this keep happening? You should have fixed this by now. You're such a failure. Your kids won't listen. They don't respect you. You need to stop yelling at them. But then they really won't listen. I was measuring my success based on my kids' behavior. I was drowning in a river of parenting misery. I thought I needed my kids to change, stop fighting, start listening. Then everything would be better. I was in bed catastrophizing when I had a thought. Control the controllables. It stopped me in my tracks. I wondered what my controllables were. I wanted to know. At that moment, it felt like everything was out of my control. I pulled out a notebook, wrote at the top, my list of controllables, and started writing. My perspective, how I decide to look at what my kids are doing. My actions, how I decide to act around my kids when they don't listen. My words, what I say and how I say it when I need to set a limit. My thoughts, what I choose to think about myself and my kids. My plans, how I choose to spend my time, playdates for the kids, downtime for me. My friends, who I choose to invest in with my time and love so I feel supported. My money, the way I spend my money and my time to feed my interests and my children's interests. My food, what I eat so I have the energy to keep up with the kids. My media time, what I watch on TV or let the kids watch on TV that feels satisfying, not like a waste of time. My clothing, what I wear that makes me feel cute and happy with how I look. You could insert an endless list of choices that you make daily. Once I started listing things I had control over, I found I had more than I expected. It changed the way I viewed parenting. I realized I was never out of control. I had so much I could control, even in situations I thought were uncontrollable. I started focusing on what I could do instead of on what I could not do. Accepting versus rejecting behavior. Controllable? Accepting your child's behavior does not mean you want the behavior to continue forever. It does mean you accept that he was or is doing his best, and that if he could do better, he would do better. A lot of parents get confused about what accepting means, so I'm going to say it again. Accepting is not the same as condoning. Accepting is about honoring where your child is at in that moment without thinking things should be or could be different. Here are the Connect Method parenting definitions. Accepting. Verb. Letting someone be exactly where they are at without judgment. Not believing things could be or should be different. Believing the best of another person. Calming the nervous system and creating trust and connection. Setting a limit fueled by connection. Yep, you've still got to have boundaries. Does not mean you want the behavior or emotion to continue forever. Does not inherently mean you condone the behavior. does not take away the natural resulting consequences. For example, getting caught cheating on a test results in failing the test. Rejecting, verb, believing they could have made a better choice. Thinking another person or situation should be different. Feeling justified trying to fix or change a person or situation. Your decision to accept or reject situations, behavior, and emotions is your superpower, one of your controllables. You can accept or reject a child's behavior when they throw a fit. You can accept or reject them when they talk back to you, or even when they call you the meanest mom in the world. You can accept or reject how you feel when you see the kids have totally destroyed the kitchen. You can have control over whether you accept or reject. When you discover your son's room is a mess after he promised it was clean, you're going to have some thoughts. You can choose what thoughts to focus on. You can choose the ones that fill you with frustration or the ones that fill you with peace. The thoughts that frustrate you don't have to go away for you to stop focusing on them. You can just choose. What do you want more of? Do you want to feel more frustration or more peace? This might not feel like a choice, but it is. Sometimes the thoughts you think aren't accurate. Other times, the thoughts you think are accurate, but not useful. Clients come to me with problems that feel insurmountable and hard to accept. They say to me, "My child lies. My 13-year-old doesn't talk to me anymore. He doesn't care what I say. My child ignores me. She's making terrible decisions. She should be more mature by now. He's throwing fits every day." Here's one of my recent big insurmountable problems that was hard for my brain to accept. To be honest, the problem wasn't all that big or insurmountable, but at the time it felt huge. I wanted to use it as an example because often it's the little experiences that our brains make huge that trip us up and cause our brains to spin out. A few months ago, my son came back from a trip visiting some friends in another state for the weekend. He walked in from the airport when his sister immediately said something he interpreted as rude and snarky. He responded by saying, "You're so rude and mean. Why are you like that? Are you ever going to learn to be nice?" Then he turned to me and said, "You know, Mom, you need to fix this. The so-and-sos, the family he had just stayed with, would never let their kid say something like this." My heart sank and my brain started flipping out. It went straight to worst-case scenario thinking, pretty typical for our human brains to do. I wondered how my daughter would take the comment that she was rude and mean. She'd been labeling herself as those things a lot lately and didn't need more evidence that it was true. I knew it wasn't true, but she didn't fully believe that yet. His words were for sure not going to help her believe that she was nice and kind. Then my brain thought, "I'm not a good mom. My kids aren't going to have good relationships." For a minute, I rejected him and me. I wanted things to be different. My mind spun out of control. My emotions kicked up and I felt terrible. Then I paused and asked myself these 6 acceptance questions. 1, how does what he's saying make perfect sense to him? My answer to this question took a second to come. I tried to really understand him. He didn't like the way his sister was talking. He had just been with a family who'd been on their best behavior while he was visiting them. He was probably feeling frustrated that we'd moved him from the place he'd always called home across state lines a few months before. I took a deep breath and relaxed as I saw things from his perspective. 2, what do his words tell me about him? I reminded myself that what other people say have nothing to do with me and everything to do with them. I thought for a second. Maybe what his words were telling me was that he was struggling with the move and being away from his friends. He was tired of dealing with his sister, who was struggling a bit as well. 3, how does what my daughter did make perfect sense to her? After a short pause, I could recognize how her nervous system was probably triggered from the new school. She was in a bit of a defensive mood right now as a result. She was trying to protect herself. 4. What would serve everyone's highest good right now? This answer didn't take long for me to discover. The best thing I could do right now was to love and accept everyone exactly where they were, including me, not try to fix or change or correct. I took a few more breaths. 5. What am I making his words mean about me? Why? Wow, this was pretty illuminating to answer for myself. Initially, I made it mean I wasn't a good mom, that I was a failure. This was one of my brain's favorite stories to pull out anytime things weren't going the way I thought they should be going. But now I was able to start to release that story. It didn't mean anything about me other than I was a human having a human experience. 6. Do I want to accept what just happened? If no, why? If yes, why? Well, this was obvious. Yes, yes, yes. I wanted to for sure accept what had just happened because that was really all I could do if I wanted to stay calm and connected with my kids. After answering the 6 questions, it felt a lot easier to see that it actually wasn't that big of a deal. I really felt like I could figure this out. I felt a little emotional for a few hours, but was able to release the judgment and the story that it should have gone differently than it did. I ended up connecting with my son and my daughter throughout the day, and within a few hours, things started feeling back to normal. Your turn. Take action in 30 minutes or less. 1. Make your controllables list. Take a few minutes to get curious about what your controllables are. It might feel like everything is out of your control, but that's not true. Think back to my list at the beginning of this chapter for inspiration, then pull out a notebook and start writing. 2, create your acceptance plan. What do you have trouble accepting? Or what have you had trouble accepting in the past? Write one thing down. Now answer the 6 acceptance questions. 1, how does this behavior, emotion, or reaction make perfect sense from the other person's point of view? 2, what do the other person's words or actions tell me? 3, how does what happened make perfect sense to me? 4, what would serve everyone's highest good right now? 5, what am I making this mean about me? Why? 6, do I want to accept what just happened? If no, why? If yes, why? All right, so what did you think of chapter 2? I can't wait to hear your thoughts online. Join our virtual asynchronistic book club by just jumping on social, posting something, going over to YouTube where this episode is live and putting a comment below wherever you want to post it and then tag us. And or you can send us a screenshot of it to make sure we don't miss it because the social world, the world wide web is kind of big. So if you want to make sure we see it, send it over. Email it to us at hello@connectwithparenting.com, or you can send it through Messenger on one of the platforms so that we can share it to the unified, curated feed under Connect Method Parenting on Instagram. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. And share the book club with your friends and family so you can all get on the same page with Connect Method Parenting and learn how to stop feeling frustrated and stuck with your parenting. I want to help you do that, and it's so much more fun when you have your friends and family on board and you're supporting each other. So share it with them too. And if you haven't had a chance to subscribe or review the podcast and you have a second to do that, could you do that for me? It helps get the word out. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. And circle back next week on Monday where we are doing another Connect Method Parenting in the wild with someone who has implemented Connect Method Parenting and is going to share how they actually did it, the struggles they had, how they overcame them. And it's going to help you take this from just really cool concept to practical, life-changing implementation into your life. So we'll see you on Monday for that episode. And then the giveaway will be this Saturday. So check out that too. That will be coming up. The first giveaway. All right, we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye, guys. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, come check out League, my Connect Method parenting coaching program, where we take this material and we apply it using my proven formula. Head over to cmp.works/join.